From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. Hi, welcome back to the show. I'm Katie Weaver. Nigeria is struggling to deal with its largest number of lead poisoning cases since 2010. Activists say the country needs more trained medical workers to treat the sickness. We talk about that today. Then we go to Uganda and Zambia, where HIV patients and health workers are struggling with shortages of antiretroviral drugs. Thousands of children in northern Nigeria are being treated for lead poisoning. Activists fear the area could see more poisonings if no action is taken. They say doctors and others must be trained to deal with it, and communities must be shown how to protect children from lead. Jim Tedder reports.
Gold and lead come out of the ground together in the Nigerian state of Zamfara. The mine workers remove the minerals with their hands and small tools. Mining brings in more money than their old occupation as farmers. The miners are still poor, but now they can feed their families. However, the work produces lead dust. It sticks to the miners, and they bring it home to children. Lead poisoning is most dangerous for children under 5. It can cause seizures, learning and behavioral disorders, and hearing loss. It can also damage the kidneys and even kill. Hundreds of children in northern Nigeria have died in recent years from lead poisoning. Thousands more are being treated. Hamzat Lawal operates an anti-corruption group called Follow the Money. Mr. Lawal says villages have been cleaned up, but many boys and girls in Zamfara remain in danger. He says the government has promised more than $1 million to train local health workers about lead poisoning. But, he says, it has yet to release the money, so nothing is happening.
During our last meeting with officials of the Ministry of Health, they gave us the shocking information that the $200 million that was allocated to their agency has not been released by the Ministry of Finance. So to us, it's a big shock and surprise.
Mr. Lawal says Doctors Without Borders is the only organization now treating lead poisoning. He says training local doctors is urgent because the group is likely to leave Zamfara 2 years from now. He also says miners need to be trained in simple safety measures, and they need basic support like water availability and improved wet grinding machines. This, he says, will help protect children.
They need access to water because after they finish mining, they need to take their baths and, you know, be hygienic, put on some fresh clothes before going back home. And they need machines also.
But Hamzat Lawal says all the equipment in the world will not protect the children if miners are not taught how and why to use it. I'm Jim Tedder.
In June, the World Health Organization advised nations to give antiretroviral medicines, or ARVs, to everyone who tests positive for HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. The WHO said this would reduce the risk of the disease spreading. But health workers at medical centers outside the Ugandan capital, Kampala, have been struggling to provide the life-saving drugs. They have been protesting shortages of ARVs and HIV testing materials. John Barassa heads an HIV clinic in the eastern town of Busia. He says the government has not been providing the drugs he asks for. Mr. Barassa says his clinic asked for 100 containers of ARVs in June, but they only got 6. As a result, he has been able to give patients only 1 or 2 weeks' worth of drugs at a time. Many patients travel for hours to get to the clinic. Mr. Barassa says some patients have been running out of medicine. Elvis Basude leads the Positive Men's Union. He says many people have complained to him about the lack of ARVs. He says the treatment plan must be followed exactly or drug resistance could develop. A drug shortage makes it difficult for patients to follow a treatment plan.
With us, there must be strict adherence to treatment. So whenever we have such problems and issues and somebody can only be able to access medicine in a good time, you can imagine the consequences, you know. It could lead into drug resistance.
But health activist Margaret Happy says there is no shortage of the drugs in Uganda. She is with the National Forum of People Living with HIV.
At facility level, it is very severe. However, at national level, the situation seems to be very different.
The Ugandan Ministry of Health says the country has enough ARVs to last until December. Ministry official Rukia Nakamate says there is a shortage in some areas because clinic workers do not know how to use the government's new online ordering system. Ms. Happy disagrees.
National level transfers blame to the local level. Yet the local level, they have evidence that clearly shows that they make the right quantification and they make it timely. The problem is with delivery.
In Zambia, more than 500,000 people are infected with HIV. The government there has severely limited the number of ARVs it releases to clinics. Officials are not calling it a shortage of the drugs, but a rationing. Chikuta Mbewe is the deputy director of the country's pharmaceutical services. He says part of the problem is that the government is now giving a drug to HIV patients that is different from the one they have been getting. He says this has caused lowered supplies of both. But he says the situation will improve.
There are a lot of planned shipments that have already started arriving in the country. And we think now we are in the normalization cave, so to say. And we hope we can get back to our normal stock levels.
Activists say the shortages could have been avoided with better planning by the government. Zambia hopes to give the same drug to 95% of people with HIV. This would simplify the supply process. Zambia is also seeking investors so it can build a factory that will make ARVs and other needed drugs. And that's As It Is for today. I'm Katie Weaver. To download PDFs and audio files of Learning English programs, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. You can also try out your English skills with our English lessons. And to leave us a comment, go to the Contact Us link on the page. We'd love to hear from you. And remember to listen at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, for the latest world news from the Voice of America.